guys, and welcome back to Two Kosh Girls. It's Jory.
And it's Abby, and this is our Passover edition episode, Pesach 572 with Two Kosh Girls. Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. yay. Okay, how are you? Wait, crazy stuff's been going on in both of our lives. There is terrorist attacks in both freaking cities, New York and in Israel. How insane. What is this life?
Yeah, I think like it's literally the apocalypse because people were like, oh my God, are you okay? Like Israel's so dangerous right now. And then there was a terrorist attack in Brooklyn and I was like, so we're all experiencing the same shit right now.
It's so crazy, weird. I don't even know. Like everyone was like freaking out in the office when there was like, see, this is like a sad topic to talk about. At least no one passed away. But like the trains were down. My whole office was like, no one leave. No one should like go take the subway later. It was like a lot. But I definitely took the subway. And I wasn't like freaked out. I don't know why I wasn't freaked out. Maybe because like Israel is also in a sense my home. So I feel like that happens all the time there. So it's kind of just like, I don't know, but the fact that it happened in the U.S. is obviously much different.
I mean, it's like a weird thing. It's very surreal because it's places that you've been and that you're at all the time. But like when you see it through the news, it doesn't feel real. So I got what you're saying. Because I was watching like the terrorist attack in Tel Aviv like 5 minutes away, like from where it was happening on TV. And I've been to all those bars and been on those streets and cafes there. And it just like it felt like I was watching an action movie, even though like it could have been me at the same time. So I get like the feeling of separation and like feeling chill because you weren't there. But at the same time, you're like, oh shit, like I could have been there.
So, Wait, so how's everything with you? Cause I know you told me it's really close to your house. Like I was like, not that close.
Yeah. It's like the scary part was is that I was going to go on a date across the street that night. And then the guy ended up canceling because he lived in a different city far away and he couldn't get a ride. And I was like, oh, bummer. Like, but it was not a bummer. Later, I realized that my night could have gone a completely different way other than being inside. So thank God, thank God. But yeah, it's definitely, it's scary shit. And also the, like, I mean, I'm like this every time someone dies in Israel, but the guys that ended up getting murdered were like 27, 28 childhood best friends.
No, and it was
really, really difficult to see those stories and then be able to like, you know, it's just crazy because they were literally our age. And like,
what was work canceled like the day after? Like what was happening with like work and people going out?
That's Israel. People kind of just continue their lives. Yeah. Like that's just the reality here. And it's always been the reality. And I mean, this is kind of a pessimistic thing to say, but I don't think it's going to change anytime soon.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
But, you know, we checked in on each other. You know, is everyone safe? Is everyone okay? Like, that's the most.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you so much. You were so kind to check up on me.
Because I know what it's like.
Because it was so scary. I get it. It was so scary. I'm like, yeah, like, I was already in my office. I left early that morning. So I was already in my office, like, doing my work. And I didn't even hear about it until, like, when my colleague said something. And then you texted me. I'm like, what?
You only heard about it after I texted you?
No. I heard about it like right before and I like didn't like even
like register.
I didn't register.
And this is gonna make me sound like such a jap, but it's really not the vibes because it's my birthday month. I'm in Aries.
So let's turn this podcast around. Okay. Let's talk about something fun. Let's talk about Abby's freaking birthday month and how Abby had a birthday party 2-3 months before her actual birthday.
3 months? Okay. It was a couple of weeks. Okay.
Weeks.
I decided to have my birthday a couple of weeks earlier. I basically got all the dates that my close friends were leaving Israel because they're all going to visit their families in the States. And it ended up, my actual birthday is April 19th. I ended up throwing a party on March 31st. So, So this week is at my real birthday week. So if you guys are mega fans of Two Kosh Girls, I expect a personal birthday wishes from all of you.
We should have like Abby birthday swag.
Yeah. We always talk about the swag. We never make it, but yeah, I don't know.
Season three.
It's coming. It's coming. So yeah, I threw a Euphoria party because even though Euphoria is pretty depressing content.
You've never seen the show.
I've seen the show.
Oh.
Of course okay. I've seen the show.
Okay.
Yeah. You haven't seen it. You said the first episode, like, really, like, where you were just like, this is not the vibe because it's about drug addiction and.
I just started. So we're getting to a lot of big things, but let's first talk about your birthday and how the party was.
So it's not, I threw a Euphoria party, not because of the plot, because of the aesthetic. Like, it's such a gorgeous aesthetic. So I wanted my party to look like that. So I ended up, like, I spent way too much money on, like, sparkly shit. And there's like, the most iconic episode, I think, is the carnival episode. I don't know if you got up to that yet. So I ended up buying cotton candy and just, like, that's literally. So yeah, yeah. Also, Helena, my roommate, who's mutual friends with me and Jory, like, ended, like, she helped me plan a lot of it. And
she's a planner. She's an A-plus planner. She's there for you. I'm so glad she was able to help.
Yeah. Oh my, and the most extra thing that she did was she got she, like, pulled a couple of my friends together, and they got us a magnet guy. Like, you have – I don't think they have it at weddings and bar mitzvahs in America, but here it's, like, very popular. And, like, no one really does it for birthday parties. Like, it's not a thing because it's so extra.
It's so extra, but so worth it and so fun. And
It was only 600 shekel, like, divided by a couple of friends of mine. So that's not really a lot. And then the fun thing is that they also got to take pictures and magnets home. And, like, you know, at parties when everyone gets too drunk to take pictures. So it was great because we had a professional, like, magnet guy going around and taking pictures of us. The funniest shit with him was he came to our apartment. He was like, "That's so chill of your parents for letting you do this party." And I was like, "Sir, I'm turning 26." And he was like, "What? I thought you were 16."
Yeah. So oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah. So it was funny because, like, that was the theme of the party. The magnets read Abby's birthday bash, 16 going on 26. So that was the theme.
That's the best.
Euphoria teens and everything. We also had, like, I bought, like, a whole box of gummies just because I like gummy worms. And then people were like, "Oh, you know what you should do? You should do drug roulette since it's like Euphoria, and, like, write, like, take at your own risk and mix it with, like, weed gummies." And we were like, "That sounds like a bad idea. We're not, in theory, like, if it was the actual TV show, that would be a cool party idea, but not at my party."
That's but, another story. Yeah, that's different.
Yeah,
that'd
be
so funny.
But it was cute. Like, it was cute. Some people, like, got into theme. And some people less, and I hate people that don't get into the spirit of things. People were like, "Oh, is it okay if I bring my friend and they don't wear anything?" And I literally wrote, like, "No," like, or, like, "You can bring them. I'm just not going to be nice to them." It's really not that hard to get into theme. There were so many different characters they could choose from.
I 100% agree.
Yeah. I let Nate, you know, he's a little bit of a scary character, but he's a jock. So I just told guys that didn't know what to do, just dress up as a jock and you'll be fine. And a lot of guys actually pulled through on the idea. But yeah.
Abs, this sounds like the best party. I'm so glad you're able to celebrate it with all your friends.
Yes.
I wish you could have been.
Birthday month is still going, so you can still book a flight today.
Still going. When this podcast comes out, your birthday is going to be the day after. So everyone better write you messages and all of that. Yay! So exciting, my 26-year-old.
Yeah, I'm a big girl now, but I still feel like I'm 16, but it's fine.
Right? I do too.
Yeah, but literally. updates on our lives in general. A couple of months ago, I don't know if you guys remember, but I applied to a Jewish matchmaking show because I really want to find love and I'm sick of going on dates. I ended up emailing them, and sadly, I did not get it, which is chill.
Oh, no.
I'll find love in other ways. Yeah.
No, Abby, we were going to be famous because of you.
Yeah, yeah. We would have, two coach girls would have, like, gone global. We would have gotten so many, like, brand deals from different Jewish companies. But it's fine. We're over it. But I have a good friend that applied with me, and she actually ended up getting contacted later. about going out with, like, she's not going to be a main person, but she's going to be, like, one of the people that they go on dates with. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
awesome.
Yeah. So I'm not allowed to say names. I'm not allowed to give details yet, but she promised an exclusive interview, which is exciting.
Wait, do I know her?
No, you do not know her personally, but you will know her. Everyone will know her after she's on this Netflix series.
This is Netflix.
This is Netflix, yeah.
Oh my God, Abby, you were going to be on the Netflix
one? I was literally, I didn't make it, but it's okay.
We were talking, I was at a Shabbos meal or something, and people were talking about it, like this show.
Yeah. It's going to be huge. Oh. Like, it's going to be the next big thing since my unorthodox life, but I think better because I think they're going to show Judaism in a more positive light, I hope. They're the same producers that are making this are behind Indian Matchmaking, which I only saw one episode, but it was pretty good.
Okay.
So
yeah, it's very similar. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm not sure when it's coming out, but when it does, we will be on top of it. We will be following every single episode religiously.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. We definitely will be watching it. That's so exciting.
But aren't you and Saul, didn't you guys also apply to a reality TV show?
Yeah. So we applied to The Amazing Race. Did we talk about it on the podcast?
I think once.
I like to guess a lot of stuff.
Did you guys hear back from them? And like it takes a long time.
They made this amazing video. And talking about like our relationship, why we should be picked, why we're good match to travel together, things like that. And it's for CBS. So I try to email all the people, like all the recruiters and things like that, the producers and stuff of the show. They responded, just saying like, we're looking at your application. We'll get back to you. But we didn't get it.
You didn't get it?
No, one of the producers like wrote on Facebook saying, thank you everyone for applying. We reached out to people we want to have on the show and apply next season. So
no, I thought you were building up to like, and then we got an email where they were like, stay tuned.
Oh no. Okay. I'm bad at those things. No, so we didn't. It was really sad.
Well, the audacity of these TV shows to reject like two members of two coach girls, like this is insane. And they're honestly
ridiculous. We're so cool and we're so smart and like we are the personality.
Yeah. Whatever.
We're the drama.
It's their loss. It's their loss. They'll find it out. Like they'll be like, "Oh no, we should have gotten that cute modern Orthodox couple. They would have gotten us such crazy ratings."
I know. I totally agree with that. So we didn't get it, but honestly, people apply year after year, and they could have had like really great people that weren't going to do it last season, and then like they're doing it this season. So like it's fine. Saul and I will be together. I'm not worried. The show will still continue, and we'll apply again.
What would you, someone told me that like, what would you guys, like The Amazing Race, it's like you have to do like challenges together, right?
Yeah.
Like, so what if they were like, eat this and it's not kosher? Like someone was like, what would they have done?
Not that I know of. Like I really, the past few seasons they haven't had food, and if they have food, we'll change it. One sec. Saul is actually listening in on this podcast because he's going to be the guest today. So why don't we just introduce him now?
Hi, Saul. He's been sitting, waiting for his moment to shine.
Do I even need an introduction at this point? I feel like I'm pretty well known in the podcast here.
Okay. Well, we all met you on season one, but for those of you that weren't on season one, it's Dory's boyfriend, Saul, and they've been together for quite some time now. Very exciting.
Yay.
How long have you guys been together now?
A year and a half.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's like when I started my job.
It's like long. It's crazy. Yeah, that's all I'm gonna say. It's a lot.
Yeah.
it's okay. It's great. But we're talking about The Amazing Race. What were you saying?
Oh no, a lot of people were having questions about The Amazing Race and how modern Orthodox couples would essentially respond to kosher challenges, whether there's food challenges, because there was one in the last season. Or even Shabbat. And I mean, you know, it's 2022. We would hope that maybe Amazing Race would be very diverse and open to different groups of people. So that's kind of why we applied. But we knew that there was some high hurdles with the food and the and the Shabbat challenges that were ahead of us.
Even if we would get that first interview, like, that's awesome. But there's so many other things. Like, what if they have to shoot on Shabbos? What are we going to do? Like, I said I would probably break Shabbos. Saul said he wouldn't break Shabbos.
Well, I mean, if you're advocating it as you're a modern Orthodox couple who's, you know, Shomer Shabbos.
Yeah, and it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
I know. Everyone would hate on us, you know, like the whole, like all the Jews, like, that's not real. You guys aren't real modern Orthodox Jews.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's like my unorthodox life.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's just a whole other step you would have to get in if that would happen, which would have been amazing. Well, but we'll see.
Do you guys know if they've had like any religious type couples in the past, like Muslims or Christians or I don't know?
That's a good question. I know that there have been Jews on the past, but my guess is if there's any restrictions in terms of like food, I don't know. Maybe they've had vegans, but yeah. I'm not too sure. I'm not an avid fan, but I know people that are listening might be able to chime in and let us know.
Okay. Yes, let us know, and maybe Jory and Saul will be on the next season. Maybe I'll be on the next season of Jewish Matchmaking. Who knows? The possibilities are endless.
Yes, opportunities are endless. What else?
Let's hop over to Saul. It's time to grill Saul in honor. You have not been on for a season, and we have lots of questions and not our normal type our usual type of questions. Yeah. I'm very excited.
This episode is going a little more. I don't know where it's going.
I don't know. We'll see.
This episode's going to be different than the rest, than the others. I'm going to take that out.
It's like Passover. You know, why is this episode different from all other episodes?
Oh my God. That's going to be the title. Oh my God.
Yay. Okay. So my boyfriend, Saul, is studied finance and economics at University of Illinois. And what else? He's worked in finance for about 5 years, I would say. Mm-hmm. And right now he works at Grant Thornton as a consultant. So what we brought him on today to talk about was finances and investing, but we're going to make it sexy.
Finance can make it sexy. Actually just opened. I don't even know where my question is other than like I'm clueless, but my dad made me – I wanted to like buy this girly pink Girl Boss book when I was in New York, and I went to Barnes & Noble with my dad, and he was like, no, you're getting your shit together. You're going to get an investing book. And I started reading the first couple of chapters, and first it was like, you know, simple and everything. And then I got more into it and it got harder, but I just opened my Fidelity account. Very exciting.
Novels. That's so exciting. I have Fidelity too.
Oh my God. Can we like write?
Sponsored by Fidelity.
Yeah. This is an ad for Fidelity. But the money's just sitting there. Like, I don't know what to do. So my question is, what do I do now?
Honestly, it's good that you open an account, because I feel like that's the first step on the right direction. Really, I mean, I am not a financial analyst, so
why?
I can't
give you any
advice.
Well, that's why you're on Saul.
I know. I could give you hypotheticals. Is that, okay, you know, as long as you put your money into the market, okay, in the long run, you know, it's going to be essentially providing you with returns. I mean, on average, the S&P 500, which is one of the essentially market indices, has returned, I think, like 8% on a year-over-year basis. So, you know, you keep money in there and it's going to grow. Whereas if you keep it in like a cash account that pays you nothing, your money's not growing. So, you know, this year it's been a little choppy with everything going on. But if you look at the big picture.
Sorry, is it choppy because of Ukraine?
Ukraine, inflation information, supply chain issues. I mean, if you were to go to the grocery store a year ago versus now, a lot of your prices that you're paying are higher.
Avocados were like $5. That's like,
That's like probably the most fucked up thing that's happened this year.
I'm kidding. Get out my avocado toast because I'm a basic girl.
So wait, how much of percentage of like someone's salary would you recommend investing into the market every
I mean, I think it really depends on your salary, your living situation.
That's why I said percentage.
Well, I mean, it's very hypothetical.
No, I'm kidding.
If you make $200,000, and a percentage there is different versus someone who makes like 40 or 50.
This is true.
I would just say put any money away that you can. There's this thing called pay yourself first, where you can, you know, give, let's say $20, $30 a month, any sum of money, as long as it's something that you're contributing towards your future self, because come on, no one wants to work until they're 80. Everyone wants to retire early and, you know, just sit on the beach with a mojito or a pina colada, whatever. So really just putting any amount of money is good. I mean, I would obviously say, you know, first start at making a budget and seeing how much your expenses are and how much your income is, and you can kind of get a better understanding as to how much money you're able to play with. But I think that, you know, any money that you're able to just throw it in an account, and I would say watch it grow, because it's a lot better to invest now than it is in 20, 30
later.
Years.
What Saul told me a little bit ago was, if you have a 401k, try to get the max, like the max you can with living. Mine, I do 10%. It's a lot. I used to not do that much. I used to do 6%. But if your company matches, do you know what I mean? The 401k, you should just do that every single time. Because you think it's a lot of money coming out, but then it's like, you figure it out. Do you have anything like that in Israel?
We don't have a 401k, but we have like, I think like a pension fund. Like we have, I don't know how to say it in Hebrew.
In Hebrew, it's okay.
A 401k?
401k, that's what it should be called. Yeah, it's really bad. I don't really, I know that it's called the Bituach.
Okay.
I'm
not the right person to talk to because I'm still figuring it out myself. Like, so I think we should stick to like American money saving right now and investing, because I'm not an expert.
Yeah, I would say at the end of the day, just maybe look into your company's benefits that they have and just try to maximize them as much as possible, because free money is good money, and yeah, everyone likes free money.
Exactly. Question for you. This is going to go a little off topic, but I was thinking, why does everyone think like Jews are rich? You know, like, where does that come from? Just because, like, I'm definitely not rich at all. And I just don't get, like, why people think that people are. And a lot of Jews really aren't rich. Like, really aren't. But I guess we're maybe more well off than other people. But what do you think that comes by? Unless I'm the only person who's heard that before.
I think it stems from anti-Semitism, just like everything else. Just because back in the day, I think I'm like doing a really shitty like summary of history, but basically non-Jewish people didn't want to deal with money. So they ended up giving Jews like the task of dealing with money. And then like we ended up being associated with people that are like penny pinchers and everything. And, you know, and so that's where the stereotype like comes from. And now, you know, like Jews in Hollywood, like obviously it's like morphed since then, but that's like where it stems from.
Yeah, no, that's right. I think along the lines of that, I think Jews were restricted from having certain jobs, essentially. And one of the things that they weren't restricted was banking. And you don't realize that if you have an interest, a loan, the interest that you're paying is actually pretty substantial. So if you lend money and you charge interest, it's a lot, the pretty lucrative return. So Jews just know how to deal with money. There's also a lot in the Talmud, in like the Jewish codes, that talk about, you know, just ethics and, you know, how to best live your life. And I think that just that being passed on from tradition to tradition, it's really instilled good values to the Jewish people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Being good with money isn't a bad thing. Okay. People are just jealous.
No, it's not. I know. People are just jealous. It's the thing is, we have it, but we don't like spending it. Or if we spend it, we spend it on like
bar mitzvahs.
Yeah.
Wedding.
Yeah. Wedding.
Exactly. But yet you're driving like a very, very old car, but yet you have this most elaborate like bar mitzvah or wedding.
Yeah, I'm driving a 2002 Buick Century, my beautiful car that I've had since high school.
Oh, frugal, we say.
I was in that car. It was a great car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is a good car. I definitely, by dating Saul, I've definitely learned a lot more about investing and saving. I mean, he told me, like, to budget. We had one of our first.
You make it sound like it's a bad
thing. Oh, one of our first times we were hanging, not one of our first times, but like early on in the relationship, we had like a scheduling budget meeting. And essentially, he was like, you need to like watch what you're spending because you're spending crazy, Jory, and you don't calculate. You just somehow have enough money to live, but like it's not smart. And so at the end of our conversation, we kind of just like got in a fight and I like almost, I think, broke down in tears because I was just couldn't handle it. It wasn't Saul. It was just me like being frustrated about budgeting because it's honestly annoying. What do? You calculate everything you spend and write it down in an Excel sheet?
Yeah, I'm a little bit of an anomaly. I list all of my expenses in like a spreadsheet and categorize them based off of various sections and categories. I know it's probably putting your listeners to sleep right now.
So. No, but, I mean, I started challenging myself this year on my like list of New Year's goals was to like write down everything I spend. I'm not as organized as you. I have it in a notes thing, but something. I don't know. It just kind of started making me feel bad about how much money I'm spending on like going out and alcohol. So like, I didn't really do it this month because it was my birthday month. So I just kind of gave myself a free pass.
Hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. I'm always about like enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
We talk about this a lot. I like to live my life, enjoy myself. If I can afford this, I can afford that. I can go to this, I can go to that. Great. Saul's more like saving it now. So then in the future, when he can retire young and party up when he's older. But I'm like, if I can go and experience countries now and like hike and run, I'm gonna do it. Versus you're there, but you are a little different.
Well, I mean, there's this thing called compound interest where, you know, the more money that you put in at an earlier time, the more it's going to grow. So there's this growing community on Reddit called Financial Independence Retire Early, where you see these people essentially
Oh wait, is that the acronym for FIRE?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Oh.
Mind blown. So essentially what these people are doing is they're budgeting, they're really not spending that much money, putting in as much into like retirement vehicles or really into any investment vehicles, and watching their money grow a lot quicker than other people. So by the time they're, you know, in the 30s or 40s, they have a lot more money. They have investments that they can live off of, maybe the dividends that they get paid every year. So instead of working until 60, 65, whatever, they retire at 40 and live like, you know, essentially below their means.
Are you in the Reddit? Cause that's your goal to retire at 40.
I'm in the Reddit. I like to follow along, see people's paths. Because you know, everyone's path is different. Some people, you know, have student debt. Some people start off, you know, making less money. Some people live in a high cost of living, neighborhoods. People have kids. There's just a lot that goes into what someone's financial security looks like. And I know that like most people probably freak out about, you know, not having enough money, being in debt. And I mean, it's scary. If you had a guess, Abby or Jory, let's say the average 25-year-old, what do you think their median income is? So how much money do they have set, not income, sorry. How much do they have set aside in net worth? What are they valued essentially financially?
In the US?
Yes, in the US.
Jory, you guess.
I'd say like 10K.
Okay. Abby, what about you?
That they have in like.
Is it lower than Jory's guess?
I'm not. I'll tell you after.
No spoilers. Okay, 15.
So it's actually around zero because of a lot of people have student debt. So like, even in the, if you're like a 23-year-old, I'm pretty sure your average net worth is in the negatives. You're like negative 20,000 in debt. And it's scary. And I think that thankfully I was in a position where I got a scholarship to go to college. So I didn't have student debt. But I mean, I know people that are stressing about it that have, you know, six figures of debt that they have to pay off. And it's definitely scary and frustrating. And people oftentimes don't really know how they're going to pay it off. But just by budgeting and saving is extremely important in my eyes. And you can, you know, you can go from negative 100,000 to zero pretty quickly. And if you can do that, then watching your net worth grow is pretty sexy.
That's insane to think about. It's just, it's not the vibes. Like, I'm trying to be eloquent. I'm a little sick right now in my defense, but what was I gonna say? Like, does it, because you're constantly keeping track of like your finances and everything on like monthly or weekly even basis, like, do you think that makes you like more anxious? Like, does that have an impact on your mental health? Obviously it's good to be like you. I'm just wondering because I know like me budgeting everything like made me super anxious, and I'm still gonna do it because I have.
That's why I didn't do it. That's why I literally had a panic attack and cried after.
Well, why does it make you anxious? Is it because you don't want to know what you're spending, or what is it?
Yeah, I just like, I don't know. It just makes me think that like, am I having too much fun? Am I having too little fun? Like, do you know? Yeah. Because I think I also have the same personality as Jory, which is not a, like, I don't think, I think we should both be like Saul. It's not a good personality trait because we're not going to save any money.
Well, you can find fun stuff with like little money. Like if you go get drinks at a bar, I mean, you're probably spending, I don't know, $8-$9, if not more, on drinks. And you can always like, I don't know, if you want a pregame, save money there.
Happy hours, bring a flask.
Yeah. And all of that adds up. I mean, I, by no means should this be like a stressful task. I mean, and to answer your question, I mean, sometimes it is a little stressful looking at my expenses and seeing if it's going to be, if my budgets this month are higher than normal. I mean, Jory and I are planning on doing some trips over the next couple of months, and we're buying tickets and budgeting that. And it's just, I've been telling her, I'm like, we are spending so much money on these trips. I hate it, but like, I'm going to spend it because it's fun. And I know that it's not like an everyday occurrence. Like, you're allowed to treat yourself, as Tom from Parks and Rec would say. But yeah.
I'm like, he freaks out over like the travel. I'm like, okay, I'm going to spend $1,000 on travel, but I'm, thank goodness I have a job and I'll get a paycheck and I'll just get it back. You know? Well, he's like, oh no, we spent $3,000 on travel. I'm like, okay, so it's just gonna be,
yeah.
Is that if you have that $3,000 that you don't spend, and I'm obviously not saying don't spend your money ever, but take that $3,000, if you were to throw it in like the market, just, you know, put it into any like just index, that $3,000 in maybe 5 years might be $6,000. So, you know, at that point, you have more money that you can essentially play around with. And then you can have 3,000, you could take 3,000 out of that, and you have 3,000 that you invested in, and 3,000 for travel.
Hmm. Got it. Let's just, the moral of the story is, let's just be rich, or let's be influencers and make some money and sit on our tushies.
Can we have a realistic moral? I feel like that's not so realistic.
I'm under the impression of Sirs Fetty Wap and Sir Little Dicky, which is, you got to save that money. You know,
Abby loves Little Dicky.
Oh my god, I love Save That Money. That's also like they play that songs at clubs sometimes, and it's great. Not often, but
it is great. Yeah, I mean, you see Fetty Wap spending that money, and then Little Dicky saving that money. You need a balance.
You need the, yeah. Wow, I love that. But my advice is also like, cause you guys are going on all the trips, like once you spend the money, like just let it go. Like when I went to South America after the army, first I was like, oh my God, like this is so expensive. That's so expensive. Like this excursion was honestly like the first month, like ruined my entire experience. Then I was like, okay, you're already here. You're backpacking. Like, you know, just let it go. And like, I think about it and it chilled me out like for the next 3 months. So like, okay, yeah. So,
because when you're on that vacation or whatever, you want to enjoy yourself. You don't want to have to think about the stress of it. And Saul and I are going to Europe, and I'm nervous. We'll see. I'm more like croissant a day, iced coffee a day. I want to enjoy France. You know, I want to let it all out. and like not think about it. And we'll see if he is going to be more like, no, Jory, one croissant a day, not two or three, or macaroons. I'm going to be stuffing my food.
Okay, so
you can do what you want with it.
So what I'm getting is Jory is Fetty Wap and Saul is Little Dicky, and you guys are going to find a balance on all these trips and have a great time.
So let's chat about what's happening right now. So it's Passover. What are we doing? All doing for Passover?
Wait, are you guys together?
We are together. Yeah.
With like where? I don't even know what's going on that side.
Oh, all right. So we are, I'm in Cleveland right now with the fam. So we're going to do a birthdays. We're going to do a Hamilton, Passover, like singing and things like that.
That's adorable. Oh my God.
I'm so excited. And then second night, it will just be like a basic Haggadah vibes. And yeah, that's it. And then, and then we're going for second days to Chicago to Saul's family. So best of both worlds.
Oh, yeah. You guys are really bouncing around.
Mm-hmm. As we always do, bounce and travel. But I'm really excited. I don't know why. I think it's going to be good vibes. I kind of want to lose some weight. So I think it'd be nice to not eat bread and stay on a restrictive, no carb, no corn syrup, no nothing diet.
You know matzah has carbs, right?
I'm going to have like barely any matzah. Slash all the matzah with cream cheese.
That's and matzah pizza. Matzah pizza.
So, yeah. What about you, Abs?
My parents came here for Pesach, and a lot of my extended family members are also coming. So we're going to have it at my grandparents. Also my little brother's here, which is exciting. My other siblings are still in New York, but it's nice to have some presentation. And it's nice to be back with the family. Cause I remember like 2 years ago with Corona, like that was insane. My whole family was supposed to come for Pesach and the whole thing just ended up getting canceled. And we had like a friend set her here. We also had like a screening of the Prince of Egypt. You know, I think I told you about my friend that knows how to schedule. She codes movies to play like on Hag or Shabbat. So it's like the biggest hack. So did you just give me a look like that's not legit?
I'm a little curious. It might have to be a conversation for another time.
Okay, another time. I'm just saying, people put Shabbat lights all the time and like Shabbat timers. It's the same exact shit. Okay. That's what I have to say about that. But anyway, it's nice. And like that was really cute in itself. But like Pesach for me is really a time to be with family. So I'm happy that things are semi going back to normal. I don't want to speak too soon. Nice. Yeah.
I love your grandparents and your parents and your brother and you will all be together. They'll be so great.
Yeah.
And then you can just like eat everything, right? Because Passover in Israel is going to be, right? It's like you can go to Jerusalem.
It depends. My mom's Sephardi and my dad's Ashkenaz. And so like, you know, you can eat everything here if you eat kitniot. So it's kind of hard because my mom's Sephardic side, like they have rice and everything at the table. And then like, I'm trying to respect my dad's tradition. So it's like there, but I'm not touching it. And then a lot of the snacks here, like it's amazing in Israel, but a lot of it has like, yeah, a lot of it is like for people that eat kitniot. But the restaurants, like, they really try hard. Like, they do a deep cleaning, and they also, like, want to cater to, like, everyone. So,
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it is. It's a good time to be in Israel, for sure.
Oh, next year in Jerusalem.
Sure,
hopefully.
Sure. Maybe you guys will make a budget to fly to Israel, and you guys can stay at my house for free, so that saves some money. Very good for Saul.
Thank you. Thank you for the suggestion. Although kind of targeted insult, but I'll take it.
That's a compliment. Like I would love to stay at like, you know, like I save money by staying at Jory's house all the time.
You 110%. Yeah. I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks Saul for joining us this episode.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Happy Pesach, everyone.
Happy Passover. You really like brought us a lot of great insights.
Do you have one final tip to share with the crowd? One more financial tip for all the 20-year-olds, 20-somethings looking to save?
Financial tip? That's you know, don't buy NFTs. They're a scam.
Oh, okay. Some people at my company, some of my coworkers would disagree, but I'm still doing research and I decided you're my financial advisor. So
I love it. Okay. Well, thanks so much for listening. Follow us on Two Coach Girls on Instagram. And yeah.
Chag Sameach.
Bye. Bye.